You're listening to Around Comics, episode 101.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and the band is back together. Woo. First time in about a month that we've got everybody here. Including our co-host, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo!
And Mr. Tom Caters.
I have laryngitis. I just talked so much.
Oh, God. Quit crying, you girl.
You'll hear on Thursday why Tom has laryngitis.
Scotty, I'm going to hand you notes.
Tom just talked about the JSA for about 3 hours. You'll hear all about it.
Editing it down to the tightest 2.5 hours.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
We're also joined by our Monday Around Comics regular, Mr. John Suntress.
Heidi-ho.
And new Around Comics regular, Mr. Scotty Young.
Nerd up.
Vagabond.
Guys, good to have everybody here today.
Why won't you come to
Thank
your
you.
Senses?
I forgot to mention last week, and if you did miss Sal on last week's episode,
I'm sure I was missed.
You can get a heaping helping of Sal for about 3.5 hours.
Jesus Christ. It wasn't all me for 3.5 hours.
3 hours of the 3.5.
No, I was it?
Yeah.
You got a really good chunk of The Great Gatsby done. He was just reading from The Great Gatsby.
Is that on what?
Sal guested on the 27th episode of Bullpen Bulletin.
I believe. Oh, you know what? I listened to that, but I fast-forwarded until I heard my name. In the description, it said, and something about Scotty Young is awesome. And
I don't believe I ever mentioned that.
I don't really care about the show. I just fast-forwarded. But I kept, like, every minute.
Scotty Young.
And it was at the very tail end. Sal's like, oh, Scotty's so awesome.
I don't think I said that.
It's cool that made it onto the show notes, of all things.
I did want to apologize to... The other guest that was on the show, Thunderhead.
Oh, Chad.
Chad, the inker of... Cisco Kid and Cisco Kid. They invited him on too, and it was a bad mistake because he never got a chance to say anything as I dominated the conversation. I hadn't slept for about 2 days, and I was pretty out of it when I was on there, and I just
stroud out anything.
I was heavily medicated at the time. I cannot be held responsible.
Babbled
for
and I don't even remember what I said.
That's the funny thing. Most people, when they are deprived of sleep, are quiet. Sal's the exact opposite.
I'm so tired. He apologizes to the three women he harassed and the entire Navajo Nation.
When he was the other guy would start to talk and someone would be like, "You shut your mouth."
I'm on a round comic, motherfucker. Filthy mouth.
Silence, Inca.
No. Thousands, dozens of people have voted me as someone to listen to.
Well, you know, when you find people that actually find you somewhat interesting, which for some reason Vince and David seem to, it's hard to not talk about yourself all the time. So,
well, they're an
I
old. They're,
my
they're
ego.
An,
yeah,
they're,
Dave and Vince are an old married couple now, so I think they enjoy having other people
come
on, come
in the bedroom.
Yeah,
show them how to.
Well, you missed
an episode.
One of the episodes that Sal missed, but Scotty sat in on was our 100th episode, which was our conversation with Cecil Castellucci, the writer of The Plain Janes, which is a perfect time to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
When art attacks strike a small town, only 4 high school girls could be responsible. Get your copy of The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the news graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the store locator at aroundcomics.com. Did I say her name right? Cecil?
Cecil? It is Cecil.
Cecil.
I listened to the episode.
Did we do good?
I thought it was great. I was extremely entertained. I thought you guys were real funny. And
what was your favorite part?
The part where you didn't have to edit.
Yeah, that was probably, absolutely my favorite part. No, I don't know. It was just really... It was a lot more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. I have to, not because of you guys. I just didn't really. No, I didn't.
He loves himself, folks.
What by not being there was actually.
No, I.
Be surprised if an episode goes up this week.
I have to say that I wasn't thinking that I was going to be really interested in that interview, because I wasn't really interested in the book. But then after listening to her, I was really interested in the book.
She lived on the streets, dude.
I understand that. I know. I know, but it was great. It was really funny and good stuff.
And I was finally able to rustle up a copy of The Plain Jane, so I'm going to try and read it this weekend and come back with my review.
Struggles.
Try and find the time. So.
Okay.
But
I've seen you read.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a slow
building
process.
An island.
I read comic books for a reason, people.
Reads them like old people own them.
I want to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday evening at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Like to meet you.
While you're here.
Love's a strong word.
We'd mildly be okay with maybe looking at you.
Slightly annoyed.
Remember to ask
we'll
Mark about
all.
His pull list
not
membership
you,
and all the great
no,
deals
that
you can get here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. We also have a new contest. It is our Be a Hero contest.
Not a zero.
Not a zero.
Find a burning building in your town and save a child from it. If you do, you'll be put into a drawing. If possible, Scotty Young.
Wow, that's a tough fucking contest.
Good lord.
That's only going to encourage people to start fires in orphanages.
No, that's good, Tom. That's
dear lord. But no, really, the contest rules are very simple. Just go to heroinitiative.org, make a donation, email us at hero@aroundcomics.com. Let us know that you did it. You'll be entered in a drawing and some really good stuff. The contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com. They are providing two $50 gift certificates. The winner will receive one of those $50 gift certificates. In addition to that, they'll get a signed and drawn-in hardcover copy.
Drawn in with a left
hand. Been drawn
a beautifully illustrated version.
Handcrafted, graphite, encrusted
copy of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small. You also get a hardcover Scotty Young sketchbook with Scotty Young.
Just drawn in.
Handcrafted.
I'll draw it with my mind. Hey, when people email you to let you know that they donated, do you guys ask for a fucking receipt? Because what if they're lying?
Well, we're
because my
do
book is it's wanted.
It's
out
hot.
There. Yeah,
it's hot. It's on eBay right now.
Yeah, I need to see. You know what? I need to see receipts, folks.
Before he gives.
We're gonna check with Hero to make sure people aren't
every one of them.
You can always just email your PayPal receipt along. And actually,
either get all serious, like, oh, you know what, you're right.
Well,
Scotty.
Yeah, there was a question. Matt Kramer, one of our listeners, Matt Kramer, emailed me, said he's been looking for an excuse to donate to Hero, but had a question on if he donated more than $10, because that was kind of the number I threw out there. If he could get multiple entries, and so we decided $1 to $10 you get one entry into the drawing. If you donate multiples of 10, like $50, you'll get 5 entries. $100, 10 entries. So donate more, improves your chance to win. So please be a hero and donate, email us, and hopefully win some cool stuff.
I hope mm-hmm. you win something. I hope every single one of you.
Yes.
What's last place get, Tom?
They get a phone call from me or John Centris as one of his cavalcade of characters.
Hello, it's Dan DiDio. How much do you like me now? You like the DC Nation? Very good.
Did you donate?
Yeah, did you donate? All right, 50 cents. That's not bad. It's not that great, but it's okay. It's
you
the
came
fun that
last
counts.
Place.
Take care. Robbie Reed is coming back in Countdown 48.
What would Father Pat say?
Oh, wonderful. 50 cents? What the hell's the matter with you?
Cheap bastard.
Man, I can get drunk for less than that. Shame on you.
All right, folks, this is one of our news and reviews episodes. We're going to be going over the last week's news and then giving you our picks in Top of the Stack. Means it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, right off the top here, we've got some countdown news and a new series is launching in August for the folks that enjoyed the outer space story in DC's 52. Looks like you're going to get a new miniseries starring Adam Strange, Animal Man, and Starfire.
I'm psyched.
Yeah,
I just recently read a bunch of Silver Age Adam Strange adventures, so I'm in a huge Adam Strange kick right now.
I'm reading the Adam Strange DC Archives and Planet Heist. And
well, anyway, I am Adam Strange, so
there's also going to be a
I knew it.
There's also going to be a backup story in it featuring a new character named Forerunner.
Yeah, they're comparing it to what they're doing currently in Mystery in Space, which I believe just wrapped up a week or so ago with Captain
Lead story and a backup
Weird.
Story.
Yeah, and
I like backup stories. It's fun to have a...
No, and they, you know, and as we said, I think some of those backup stories sometimes do better than the actual first one.
Yeah, the actual series is going to be called Countdown to Adventure, and it's an 8-issue miniseries. And it's going to be written by...
Adam Beechin. With art by Eddie Barrows.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that
Adam Beechin's not going to be writing Teen Titans.
Whom is...
Oh, it's like most on the level with Anna and Nicole Smith's baby.
Pretty
who
much.
Is the dad? Oh, we know that now, right?
We know who the daddy is. It is Sean McKeever.
Which is great. I think Sean's a...
I have my money on Norton, hands down.
Writing and drawing.
Oh, on Anna Nicole Smith, you
dumb. Oh, my God.
Sean McKeever is going to be taking over Teen Titans on officially number 51. He's going to be a part of the number 50, which they're calling a jam issue.
It's a jam issue.
Which is going
jam.
To...
It's long and boring.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Ouch.
He joins Jeff Johns, Marv Wolfman, Mike McCone, George Perez, Todd Nauk, and other creators.
Wow.
For issue 50, jam issue.
And then he's second over in 51. So
yes, congratulations to Mr. McKeever.
I think he's also going to be working on Countdown.
He just can't get away from those teenage superheroes.
Yeah, he's got a good feel for it. There is some not new news out of Dynamite, but for those of you who are fans of The Boys trade paperback is going to be coming out in June.
Chris Marshall did a great interview with Joe Rybant talking about that, and is Trade Secrets now, is that a division of Collected Comics Library?
Yeah, it's what
it's a subdivision.
Spinoff.
It is.
He's hiding all his debts.
But it's like if Archie Bunker was like the lead character on The Jeffersons, so I don't know if you call it a spinoff. It's a second podcast, I guess.
Chris does the great Collected Comics Library, and Trade Secrets is when he interviews industry folks about how collected editions come to market, and he talked with Joe Reban from Dynamite, and they talked all about The Boys and the possible hardcover edition coming out later this year. So all sorts of fun stuff. So go check out Chris's Trade Secrets number 12 and get all of that information.
Okay, I will.
All right.
I will do it.
Don't do it. I'm not going to.
I love the next story.
Bastard.
Fight the power.
I'm sorry. Like, is this really that big of a revisioning of Laura Croft?
Laura Croft is an icon.
She's got newly shaped
teenagers
breasts.
She's
everywhere.
Got she's wearing shades and yeah, exactly. Her tits are still big, but now they're
you know
football
what?
Shaped.
They're big in a different way.
We sit here and we listen to this JSA thing forever, and you choose Laura. You know, just because Laura Croft was created this year,
fourth wall, Scotty. You're breaking the fourth wall. It's a different show, Ben. This is
spoilers.
Different. I don't even know what you're talking about. It's the future, man.
I'm tired of your magic. Your around comic magic.
Your time traveling.
We'll be more mature by the next
Well, episode. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, GameTap, the first of its kind broadband entertainment network from Turner Broadcasting System, announced that they're launching a new GameTap retrospective series and new original animated series that pays homage to one of the game industry's top franchises of all time, Tomb Raider. And, they're going to. They are recreating Tomb Raider for this
In revision.
Revisioning it. And
yeah, because, man, it's been so long. Man, that's like old news, man. That's
John,
so old
I'm
going to
be honest. Don't be I'm such a really hater, dude. I'm tired of my mom and dad's Lara Croft.
Exactly.
All right? I need a Lara Croft for
that
me.
That 90s Lara Croft, man, that's so passe.
Well, the list of talent is pretty impressive.
It is.
I mean, it's
Peter Chung, Jim Lee, Warren Ellis, Kelly Hammer, Gail Simone, David Alvarez, Michael Stackpole.
Warren Ellis is
Brian Pulido.
Brian Pulido.
Christos Gage.
Christos Gage.
I like anything that Christos Gage is doing right now.
No, listen, they got really good people on here. I think that's great. I just, for something that's called Re-Envision, looks like Lara Croft to me.
but it's just one thumbnail, right? They're doing a bunch of different things? I'm sure that's not the final.
You sure?
Warren
sure.
Ellis is going to hate America.
That's true.
Comic book people have venom against video games.
Seems that way. I don't know. John's hating the Lord.
John's bleeding out the ear right now.
All the comics.
John loves Tacoma Bowl. Don't ever.
Tacoma Bowl.
In television.
Galaga. Well, moving on to other news.
Yeah, there's some movie news. For Punisher fans and fans of the movie, this was shocking that Thomas Jane has pulled his name.
I like how he announced it, though. He sent a letter to Ain't It Cool News.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't doing this no more.
I'm going right
like
to the geeks.
To one of their contributors.
Strange.
So, I mean, Thomas Jane has been connected to Punisher for a long time. I mean, the first Punisher movie and...
The video game.
Yeah, it seems to be a character. And Thomas Jane is a big comic book fan.
Do you really think it's shocking, though?
It's kind of interesting.
Going in the wrong direction.
Well, yeah.
Again,
I mean,
according to Todd,
I would be shocked if the first one was incredible.
And then he pulls out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but you know, when you have a first, because anybody who signs up for any movie, whether it's comic book or not, signs up with the thought in mind that this is going to be a good movie, and then you actually you're stuck. Like, oh shit, it's absolutely not. And I think, obviously, from the article, it talked about they kept waiting on the script and kept going over scripts and scripts. And at some point, I'm sure he just said,
"Forget it."
Yeah,
which it does not bode well for.
Well, he's still gonna do Cal McDonald, right? From the Criminal Macabre.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. He has this slate of projects he wants to get to.
He's not doing movies
Punisher,
at all anymore,
and he keeps putting these things on hold for Punisher too. And it's not worth it. If it's going to be a crappy movie, it's only going to hurt the ability to do these other films.
Right.
And especially now that he's with Raw Entertainment, with Niles and Bradstreet. I mean, these guys have formed a real production company, and they've got deals in motion with Lionsgate.
I just formed a new production company.
What do you produce?
Porn.
I'm so
comic
there.
Comic book porn.
Oh, no, I'm out.
Maybe we should.
Golden Age comic book porn.
That was the quickest turnaround in the porn world.
Creepy and like...
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Thomas Jane and Steve Niles and Tim Bradstreet...
Porn.
For those of you that remember Bad Planet number one...
Remember. Last summer.
Yeah, Bad Planet number two is finally going to come out in July. So I'm going to have to go back and reread the first issue.
They're going to represent it, and I actually talked to Bradstreet about that a month or so ago, and Louis LaRocca fell behind and
got very ill.
Yeah, and it was tough, and they wanted to stay with him, but they decided to get this other artist. They're very pleased, and they wanted to. One of the reasons why they're waiting till July is to make sure everything is in the can, so that it will come out monthly.
Fucking artist.
And no, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, dumb heads.
Hey man, great covers. That's all I can tell you. I got to see those early on. And,
thank you, John.
Way to go, Sky. That was the most gorgeous one. Despite also contributions from guys like Mark Schultz and Bernie Wrightson and some of these other guys. But I think this Thomas Jane really put his heart into Bad Planet. And I know he's very excited about it finally coming out, and I think it's going to live up to expectations.
All right. Well, we shall see. Darkness fans that want to read books without pictures. There's going to be a new Darkness novel written by Kerry Hawkins. It's going to come in at 150 pages for $6.99. It's going to be a July release.
Hasn't Harry Potter taught you that the only books people will read have to be 600 plus pages?
You're not hating on Harry Potter, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that they raise the bars for
I will beat
that
shit out of someone.
No offense, but 150 pages is a pretty thin fucking novel, man.
I would call it a novella.
It's for comic book fans.
I like the early darkness, the Jackie Estacado and his story. So this focuses on that. It's going to be, you know, for those of you that are familiar with it, you know, basically a retelling of his early years and how he got the darkness
powers.
But only
150 pages worth of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
It's an origin tale.
I hate whatever.
Spidey told
I'll write page 151. If I think it's not enough.
Do you guys like adaptations of comics in novel form?
Yes,
I've never read one.
I've only read one.
I can barely read.
Oh no, I don't think I ever have read one.
I would give it a try if they did some on audiobook.
Let me tell you, Elliot Magan did an amazing job on Kingdom Come. Not to mention his two Superman novels that he wrote. I think
I don't think I ever have.
Didn't Chris, we say? Chris didn't Priest we?
Did a great I read a book by a comic book writer.
Well, I read a book that had pages and a cover.
No, we saw the there was an Infinite Crisis novelization.
Oh yeah, they do a lot. Well, Rucka wrote the Great No Man's Land novelization. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first things I read of his. But even better have been
Pulitzer
the
Prize winner
original prose novels that have come out. I think there's a lot of really really good ones. Christopher Golden has written some excellent comic book adaptations.
Didn't Denny O'Neill do
some? Yes, The Question, Helltown. Helltown came out last fall, and it's a great
I like my comic books with pictures.
And by the way, longer than 150 pages.
The page count did kind of throw me off there. Maybe they're really big pages.
The writer died because he didn't know what to do past 22. So by the, he got to 150 and literally died. Like, oh my God!
We gotta get a fill-in.
Welcome to Fear Street.
Well, another book that has come out, it's the hardcover collection of the truly outstanding Mouse Guard from ASP, and the Science Fiction Book Club has inked a deal to offer that to their members, which I think is a great deal for Mouse Guard, and it's great that this book is getting the play and I think everyone was kind of sitting back and waiting for the hardcover. I think you're going to see this in children's sections of bookstores. It's, you know, hopefully we'll get into schools, and being in book clubs like this, I think is a great leap for this book.
David, it's totally Peters. Up in your face at every moment. Like someone on the train today. Like saw me reading a comic book and got him in my face and said, "Did you buy Mouse Guard,
loser?"
Said, not yet, because it's got mice.
You say it just like, did he have brass knuckles on?
Yeah, when he asked, "I'm gonna beat the shit out of you."
What up, fucker?
I'm frightened.
Have you seen the hardcover?
No,
it's gorgeous.
It's right over there.
I shall go get it.
Where?
Really?
I didn't even know it was out yet.
Give me a pizza while you're over there.
Oh no!
Well, hopefully David Peterson will be so successful at this he'll never write comics again.
No, I think this is great. I think it's excellent. I think it'll appeal, much like Watership Down and stories like that. I think it'll find its audience and
rodent fetishes.
Damn listeners coming in and buying the last copy.
I didn't know the hardcover.
Is this a book? Yeah, is it an all ages style book?
Ten and up.
A mature 9-year-old.
I mean, it looks like a children's book.
What I noticed that the hardcover has that I don't believe the single issues did. It has like some in depth maps and kind of talks about kind of the caste system
for those 10-year-old geography nerds.
Hey, growing up, that's one of the things I loved about the Lord of the Rings was having the maps.
Of course you did.
Well, it just made it more real. No, of course
we did.
It does.
Of course
we
all. Of course we all love fucking maps.
Huh?
I got more coming.
Okay. Save me one.
We're a bunch of goddamn nerds. Of course we all love maps of fictional worlds.
Not me.
I like holograms.
Hey, it's
well, like 25% of the kids in this country can't pick out where Alaska is for like.
But they know where Mordor is.
They can tell you where Zamfir is.
Hey, Sal, you want to talk about this Comic Foundry stuff?
Sure, we can do that.
He just called you out to like tell the story.
All right. You told me today that you were.
What audience is this for, by the way? How you doing, everyone?
Well, we're not there yet, John.
Right. ComicFoundry.com. Calm down, buddy. People may know it was a website that was sort of in magazine format, and it was trying to be sort of like the hip alternative to Wizard magazine. The guy who ran it, Tim Leong, I don't know how you pronounce the last name, Long.
I think it's Long, but go ahead.
Let's just call him Tim.
TL. And some people may know him. He was like the guy that did the crying about Wizard magazine video thing on YouTube, and
he was the New York Comic Con's official podcast.
New York Comic Con official podcast,
very
and the self-proclaimed best-looking man in comics, even though he's not really in comics. But anyway,
or very good-looking.
Well,
well, that's debatable.
Yeah, I don't, he's better looking than me. So, what
I'm
with that?
I'm fucking hot, smoking hot.
Yes. Well, so I'm not going to get into
Scotty
that,
and I'm not wearing underwear.
Or a shirt.
Well, anyway, the last six...
You know, he's sitting on my lap, so I can vouch for that, by the way.
For the last 6 months or so, he's been trying to put together an actual printed magazine, kind of the same thing, and it was recently rejected by Diamond, and their official response of why they rejected it was that it was black and white, and they felt that it wasn't the quality that it should be at the price point and page count and everything, which is a little weird in some ways, because... And his sort of response was, well, you have books from, like, Tomorrow's, like Alter Ego and Draw that are black and white that are just as expensive.
Well, actually, even, like, about 70 to 75 cents more expensive.
Yeah, you certainly have ones that are more expensive. But the flip side of that is...
I was going to say something.
Tomorrow's has a track record. They have... And those books are very niche-orientated. They are directed at a specific market.
Well, those books have also... Again, I don't want to take sides or anything, but those books... have also been around for a long time. The regimes could have changed at Diamond. I mean, sometimes when if a book is there...
I'm sorry.
But they have a track record. They've been successful.
You might be right as far as the regime the regime
policies for entry may have changed.
I'm saying that if a book has been picked up, It's almost things, grandfathered in, right?
Right.
You get a book that's been around for a long time.
Absolutely.
And it has a track record.
It has a track record.
They know what they're going to do.
When Draw Magazine came out, when it started coming out, it's been coming out for a long time, or the Blue Line magazines,
right.
the Sketch magazines,
yes.
Those magazines are coming out. They're black and white.
Sure.
Those were coming out at a time when the internet was not what it is today.
You're absolutely right about that.
And, if I was a distributor... These magazines have been around for a long time. We're going to keep rolling with them, but I'm putting a cap on it. You know what I mean? Where if your magazine isn't truly taking the next step, I mean...
I think the biggest problem is the fact that the industry is so fucking backwards that we only... Because Diamond won't distribute it, that means it won't be distributed.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's terrible.
Problem. That's more of an issue.
The fact
issue.
That Diamond turns it down and that's it. Because I think it's unfair to both sides because I don't think Diamond necessarily has an obligation to distribute every single thing that someone puts out.
Right.
Like there's some sort of... philosopher king that's supposed to pick out,
but at the same time there should be other avenues in the release.
Yeah, well they do. It's Brian Defferdine.
Ghost Story.
What? I mean, I find it odd that people who want to start comic book magazines think that Diamond is the only place to get magazines distributed. Where do all the other 7,000 magazines go through?
Yeah, but wait a minute. That's the heart of the audience. Come on.
Comic stores.
That's the best place that it will sell.
To a degree.
I think to the majority, don't you think?
Do you think more people shop at comic book shops or more?
No, but
I think more comic book fans shop
at comic
book
shops. Exactly, man.
But
you guys are coming
from such a boy in the bubble mentality.
No question, but I would also I understand what you're saying, and you're right. The general public shops elsewhere
until some people start thinking.
Why take away the foundation? Why take away the foundation?
I'm not saying take it away. Obviously, the foundation's being ripped from under this guy's feet.
Yeah,
but I find it odd that he would say, "Oh, woe is me, my dream is done."
Well, that's, you know what I mean?
I think here's another difference. This is a Diamond thing. It's selling magazines through Diamond, non-returnables, as opposed to magazines through other channels where they're returnable. So not having it through Diamond is probably a big business.
Because
deal.
We also have Stone Age distribution.
To me, that means I think there's a lot of things to be said in comics, and you look through Diamond and you see a lot of material, you see a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I don't want to do a judgment across the board and say it's good or bad material, but like you said on the returnable thing, I mean that's business. That's the way the real business world works. You have to research and make a great product. Where comics, we have this one distributor that puts just about everything in because they can take the money. Mm-hmm. They can take the huge ad money. They can take whatever and put it out and say, well. whether it's good or bad, we're still going to get our money from it, as opposed to the other markets. You really have to make sure that your product is new. It's doing something different than the other, you know.
Well, and I agree with that.
And that's,
that.
I would almost say that, not to say that the Comic Foundry magazine is a bad, you know, I know nothing about it, but it's almost a good thing. I think anything that is more of a challenge for you to get your product out in the market is good for you, because it makes you make a better product.
I respect that.
You know?
No, and I will even say that I took exception to Tim's claim that he's going to do something really innovative with comic journalism.
Right.
First of all, the words comic and journalism should not be in the same group.
Yeah.
Because it really is. We're following press releases. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's fine. That's the way the business works.
Did you hear someone might be playing Gambit in a movie?
I did
a press release last week.
Well, I think he's saying...
He's trying to hype his book.
You have two ends of the spectrum when it comes to comics publications. You have Wizard, which is sort
right.
of all geared towards, you know, the
mainstream.
Fandom and mainstream and, mm-hmm. and Marvel DC. And then you have the Comics Journal, which is the complete opposite of
right,
that.
The indie stuff.
And I think he's trying to, you know, he's saying you sure. know, his book, his magazine is trying to border that.
Right.
You know, and bridge that gap. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, the thing that sort of bothered me about it is knowing his history online, and he's a wonderful self-promoter. Which
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
To be successful, a lot of times you have to be. But for him to go out and sort of solicit people to write Diamond to put this in their catalog,
well, that's showing that
without anyone knowing what it looks like. I mean, you have he right. has got he's got a couple testimonials of people that are,
but he's got
saying,
his website. He has his videos. There is evidence.
Yeah, but
of
true
what,
enough.
What
but the website and videos are all
do.
Color. This is a black and white magazine about an industry that is 90% color.
Well, I think
comics
that's the material.
I agree with you on that. I think the color, the black and white thing, is not really the issue.
And it's funny.
Oh, I think it is. I think if you're looking at it from a business standpoint of a distributor that's going to make a decision on whether a magazine based to this group of people is going to be successful.
Oh,
I mean,
so you're
think about
from the print side. And
well, I mean, think about think about a distributor, a publisher just printing a comic book.
Right.
You know, is probably better than anybody at this table. If you make a color comic book mm-hmm. or a black and white, which
right.
one's going to sell better?
Yeah, you're right on that
but
aspect.
Again, but magazines are text driven and editorial driven. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying from the visual standpoint, which has to be a component in a comic
right.
magazine.
There has to be content in
right.
it. That's
right.
Yeah, not just content. There has to be original content.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if I can't pick up a magazine, which, you know, because of the internet, and we talked about this last week with the Gambit thing, there is so much news that it's not news. It's the 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
Well, the thing with magazines, what ends up happening is because everything... we're repeating it. Everyone, you talk about everything... 2 months before it fucking comes out, mm-hmm. like, you got to have something to say about something... Other than there's no
who's
news
to say
there
his
is
interview,
no news.
But who's to say his interview style? Which again, I think there is evidence
of
online.
I'm not saying his magazine isn't good. I'm saying.
Oh, I understand that, but I'm saying
print journalism in comics is dying.
Yeah. No, like, that's, I think that's what he
has.
Yeah,
it ever really been
yeah,
alive?
Yeah,
though,
I mean, totally for me, interviewing it, like a magazine can't be solely based on interviews anymore in comics. I think in other entertainments, actors, directors, they're not in the public eye as much, so they pick and choose once in a while. This year I'm going to do a big article in this magazine, and then you're not going to read an interview with me for a while. You'll read quotes and blah blah blah.
Right.
But in comics, because we are an industry that needs to do better, we need to sell more books. We as creators are out there just about any chance we get,
talking
telling
to
you
chumps
just
like
about
us.
Anything you want.
Yeah.
Like, what? I'll talk to you. Can I look? I'll come talk to you. You know. So another in print magazine that you have.
Well,
to pay
for. My point is we don't know. You know, I mean, immediately when this story came out, it was like, oh, Diamond's just like the evil corporation that won't allow any competition for
right.
Wizard or whatever. And it's like, well, there may be actual, you know, like logical business decisions
yeah.
behind why they did this, not just because, you know, they don't want another
yeah.
magazine.
Well,
you know,
it's fucked because Diamond.
Well, and that's the
well,
bigger
I mean,
issue.
I'll bitch about Diamond all day long as well,
right.
but at the same time, I can't just say. They're complete, you know, like you just said, there's a business side of it as
right.
well.
They're not completely.
Maybe they were being, and again, I want to stress this enough. I'm not saying his magazine's bad. I'm not
saying
it's
good. I don't
have
any idea.
Who knows? But maybe they're being nice and saying, get the reason they're giving, it's black and white, so we can't pick it up. Maybe it's not good. You know what I mean?
He is a graphic designer. He's worked for major magazines, so I think, okay. I mean...
Well, yeah, like I said, I don't know either way.
Yeah, you don't know, but we don't know, and that's sort of the thing, is like, like you said, sort of woe is me, they've crushed what I've tried to do, and all of a sudden, like, it's like... The fandom is going to all of a sudden support this and maybe get it in.
Diamond's one of those, like...
Which may not be a bad
alarm
thing.
Words that every time it comes up... it's like, everyone's
it's true.
Every time someone mentions Diamond, then the next thing someone else says is...
Sucks!
Diamond's evil. Yeah, which, whether or not Diamond's some huge evil corporation, oftentimes has nothing to do with what... I think it's a disservice to what the actual problem is to say that, like... Oh, Diamond's evil. Well, Diamond's a business, and business does things that you don't necessarily like. The real problem isn't that Diamond are assholes, because if you had six distributors, you just would have six different assholes. Because we only have one asshole, we only get the shit that comes from them. Right. So that's like the...
And some of the blame of that has to go on the publishers, too, because it wasn't like they were came in with swords and axes and took over. Given that power to some degree.
Every time I see people debate it, and then the word Diamond comes up, immediately the main argument gets forgotten, and then it becomes Diamond should do this, Diamond should do that.
Well, and I think that's what this press release was kind of banking on. It's been done before, when Wizard scheduled their Atlanta show the same weekend as Heroes.
Right.
Yep. Okay, I almost liken this story to that. Heroes Con, though, was a known entity. It was a smaller guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the smaller guy rallied against and kind of won. They canceled that Atlanta show.
They kind of win. They won. Right,
well, yeah, but
they stomped the yard, dude.
They did stomp the yard. Totally beat them down.
There is no Wizard World Atlanta.
In this case, I feel like they're trying to do that same thing, rally around the little guy.
It's like the little guy's
But we've never heard of the convention,
stones.
Right? Yeah. There's no proof in the pudding. There's not a convention yet that any of us have attended to be able to go.
I think
your magazine should.
It's
be
a manufactured,
there.
Almost a manufactured wrongdoing.
Well, but again, there's evidence.
But because they're Diamond, it's automatically they're in the wrong.
You can find Comics Foundry's editorial voice from the YouTube things he's done, from the website that the blog that he runs. And I understand. And, Scotty, I agree with you when you said, too, worry about the dead medium of magazines, embrace the Internet and stuff. And, guys, we're living examples of that, where you can get thousands of people to try your product.
Exactly.
And I think it
make money off of it. And I think Tim should probably follow those avenues.
It may have been, it may have been Heidi McDonald on The Beat. I'm not sure exactly if it was her or not, so I don't want to quote her. But she said something about how... his site was not necessarily that successful. So who's to say that
the magazine
a magazine is going to be? I mean, and Diamond may be looking at that even. It's like, it was moderately successful. I mean, it wasn't like, it wasn't like ComicFoundry.com was this huge successful website of comic book editorial.
And I think he was probably trying to build on the notoriety he got from doing the New York show and everything. And
I think let's see another alternative. I'd love to see an alternative to Wizard.
I'd love to see some alternative that, if it truly was, I don't want an alternative.
Just
I want
because
something new. I think that, again, sadly enough, Josh and them over at Devil's Due. Lo-Fi was around before Devil's Due. They were putting a book out, I think, quarterly on their own, just some guys. It was smaller, went to Devil's Due. They made it a little bigger, but it didn't,
didn't catch up.
But they were innovative. They were doing comics and music, and they were pop culture.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was something a little different than the comic magazines we've seen out there. And as new and different and as modern and as up-to-date as that book was, or that magazine, it still didn't make it.
Right.
Will Diamond carry that urban comic magazine that has been bandied about? I'm curious about that, because that is something that, when you said comics and music, I thought of that, and I can't remember the name of the company.
I just wish we had more assholes to choose from.
what's your guys' feeling on thongs?
Love them.
All right.
Yeah, but they're little comic book statues thongs? I don't know.
We are, of course, talking about the...
I've jerked off to way worse.
This is the Adam Hughes design.
Adam Hughes design.
Mary Jane statue.
Statue that was huge uproar because initially people thought that it was Mary Jane hand washing Spidey's costume. Where it turns out it's just her pulling it out of a laundry basket.
And that's okay. Because the hand washing, that's the offensive
part. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Spidey gets his hand washed. Yeah. Spidey's been martinizing ever since 1963.
But it's a very, you know, cheesecakey, you know,
MJ's
bent over and in a impossible.
With her sweet ass.
Her sweet ass thong hanging out. But people are like flipping out over it. And the funny thing I saw was just like, you know, the thing already sold out.
You know what drives me crazy about this, though? People that get, it's like the same, this, I'm going to draw a parallel to something like this. People who,
speak on, brother.
People who get all riled up to march and like, smoking pot marches where you get to smoke pot like on your march and that's what they get all fired up about and they get fired up about the statue.
People could
get fired up about actual things that had effects on people in the real world. Like, because 1,000 dudes.
What a beautiful world this could be.
There are way worse things. If you have a problem with the objectifying of women, which I can understand and I appreciate, this statue isn't the fucking line in the sand.
I find it hard to believe that anybody in comic books would find anything about a statue that comes out in 2007 of a thong. Every fucking comic book I see on the shelf. I mean, I'm drawing
sexy
new X-Men. And people are freaking out because they were like, oh my God, you drew X-23. Like, because she's 15 in the comic book. And the books that I got, I mean, looks like a 30-year-old stripper. But good Lord, you know, we see a thong. You know what? I can't walk down the street without seeing 9 fucking thongs. I'm not complaining. I like it.
Here's the thing, though. This statue is such an example of the fact that you could have, you know what? You could have, if you read comic book blogs, you know what you just saw? You just saw 2 weeks of this showing up on one blog, and then someone reading that blog and going to a different blog and posting like, blah, 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 this is horrible. Is this the worst thing ever? And then someone else posting 2 days later at another blog after they read that, because everyone's supposed to be pissed off because they read that you're supposed to be pissed off.
You were making all those blog posts.
Are they pissed off for the thong or the clothes thing?
I think it's the whole thing. It's the whole presentation. It's the whole presentation of.
No, it's a nice little teasing kind of sexual.
Peter won't even buy her jeans that aren't ripped.
I just, you know what? And I understand it to a certain degree. It's like, you know, I guess you sort of have to like take umbrage with anything like this that comes out if you're trying to, to make a difference. If you're, you know, if you're trying to make a difference,
marginal line.
Well, I don't know that it necessarily is. I think this, for whatever reason, this one got a lot of play and it even ended up in like, you know.
I'll tell you why. It's a licensed character that is licensed to underage children in terms of the movies and the lunchboxes and everything else, and that's why people object. I don't agree with that.
We were talking about this earlier. It's like, why has, for some reason, Mary Jane become the symbol of purity in comics?
Yeah, I never got that.
Well, because of the movie. Because of the movie. That's what happens.
But you totally saw her fucking nipples in the first movie. Where are all the people like...
Nipples are for milk. Okay, people?
You had Spider-Man 1.5.
It's such a...
Where are all the people losing their shit over that first
movie? That's what it is. That's why there isn't a Batman Vertigo book. That's why DC is like, absolutely not. And it's interesting...
I want to see a sexy Robin.
I'll give Zatanna or Black Canary. There really aren't any poses like that as far as the mannequins. And they are there?
I think there's some stuff that's messed up.
You know, I saw creepiest shit
Supergirl.
I saw.
Supergirl. Tell me there isn't of course. 1,000 Supergirl.
Oh, no, Mark Turner had the Scotty Panties thing happening in
but
that
the thing
whole
that the thing that
thing,
you know? Like the
Scotty Panties
Krypton.
I am wearing panties.
Well, I'm saying the thongs, you know, just like the whole thong thing.
The thing, like what you said, Tom, is like, okay, whatever, there's 500 or 1,000 of these things. I mean, I know nobody sitting at this table is ever going to buy this fucking statue.
Oh, I'll fucking buy it. I don't even read Spider-Man. Exactly.
But it's like,
Sutcher's is like, I got the variant.
But because, like, you know, an artist decided to put her in this depiction, and Marvel decided to release the statue. That all of a sudden becomes what every male comic book fan wants in comics and in their accessories, I guess. You know, which drives me fucking nuts, because, you know, it's like the same argument that, you know, people will argue. It's like, oh, well, women don't look like that. Well, some women do. Not all women, but some. There are.
I wish they did.
You know, some women.
Is this any different from any Adam Hughes cover?
No, well, it's not.
Well, but that doesn't make it right.
If people know Adam Hughes, if anybody's ever went to a convention, and my booth has been next to Adam's a few times, and you get to see the commissions that he does for people.
Oh yeah,
he's a funny guy. He is clever, and he comes up with the most clever, funny, cute, sexy little commissions all day long. And basically, this statue is one of his commissions.
Right.
He always finds that perfect moment to put a character in, whether it's a guy or girl. And usually because it's a commission, he gets to blow it out a little further and go a little crazier with it. And that's all this is. I mean, I just find it crazy that because if you look at past pop culture, Petty Girls.
Oh, my God.
Betty Page. When did all of a sudden sex become such a horrible thing?
But it's because of the same reason why people object to Alan Moore's Lost Girls. You are taking children's characters and turning him into that. I understand what comics are today.
Since when was Mary Jane ever a children's character?
When
she's
Spider-Man
a fucking supermodel that used her sexuality
when Spider-Man was a book written for 12-year-olds, when she first
you
appeared...
You just hit the jackpot, Tiger.
Amazing Fantasy 15, she was...
No, she's not in that one, but she's... She's not in that one.
Oh, okay.
But that was a little later. During Amazing
right.
Spider-Man.
Okay, sorry. Early on, it wasn't like she was...
No, but she was the girl next door. No, she was the girl... She was the
next-door
neighbor that happened to be a hottie.
She was literally...
You just hit the jackpot, Tiger.
Exactly.
But that's not... She wasn't a librarian.
She was a teenage girl. And again, this was a book that was aimed at
this
tweens.
This is fuel for the incestuous internet that likes to
talk
about...
You know what it is? Yes. You know what it is?
True enough.
Sideshow Collectibles. This is what the fuck happened. They put the statue out. How many did they make? Is there a limited run?
Yeah, I don't even know if it was...
Okay,
they
whatever.
They just sold so many.
I think I'm going to buy it now.
A guy from Sideshow Collectibles and four other employees went online and went, this is so offensive.
Fucking punch.
This is so offensive.
Yeah.
This is so offensive.
Just
and what happened, right? We're on this show.
talking about it.
We're actually all debating it. We all agree that that them bitching is stupid, yet we're all like, yeah, you disagree. Yeah, blah. And we're doing exactly what they
Mark,
want.
Mark, order me one.
It's all fucking hype. Right?
Smart. A couple of little tidbits, other news. Del Rey's going to publish an Odd Thomas graphic novel, which is based on the Dean Koontz novel.
Mm-hmm.
Thor number one's getting a second cover by your favorite.
Michael Turner. One thing that unifies all us fans, whether you love Marvel or DC, is that Michael Turner keeps ruining the covers to our books. That's just my opinion.
Sweet, sweet profile.
Thor has a size 24 waist.
Shadowlines offering its first all-ages graphic novel, following in the footsteps of Lions, Tigers, and Bears.
Oh, my.
Jinx.
Shadowlines' latest offering, PX, Book 1, A Girl and Her Panda. It'll be a 168-page landscape format. Everybody's going to landscape now after the success of Mouse Guard. All these kids.
I've been saying for years, it's such a better format.
The first time I met Scotty,
widescreen.
I just picked up a comic book, and you said to me, that'd be better if it was Lancer. And I said, what?
What?
Hey, man, Last of the Independents.
Away,
and
I was like,
what was the, what was that Batman?
Oh, here you go.
What was that Batman 9?
Gotham Noir.
Rocketto.
The Michael Larkin on Gotham Noir was...
It wasn't called that, was it?
Yes.
No, it was
Nine Lives or something like that?
Batman Nine Lives.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah.
Because Gotham Noir was...
Was it also?
Yeah. And then this, Rocketto, is one of my favorite books.
You want to know why? This is exactly why they're doing it. Because comic books make whatever amount a year, and children's books makes $2 billion a year.
Yeah. Oh,
so
absolutely.
If I can make my book look like a children's book,
if I can get 1%,
I'm almost retarded not to try to be
a
children's book.
Because of the phenomenon of babies having babies, Scotty.
What's that?
Babies having babies. Children having... Because women are getting pregnant younger and younger.
Crushin didn't know how to promote a Batazad, and Disney picks it up and gives it a children's book format, and the thing sells through the roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, DeMattis and Plug are laughing all the way to the bank.
All right, you got anything else over there?
One last. Mr. Salazar? Steve Rude announced he was reducing prices on all his original artwork. So you go to RudeDude.com or SteveRude.com/store yeah. and he cut all a bunch of pricing on
his artwork. He announced that he and Mike Barron are going to get into a knife fight.
Scotty Young is raising all his...
I take, it's like about $1,000 per page and a finger.
We forgot to introduce, when we introduced Scotty today, we forgot to introduce Scotty's ego.
Oh,
it was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We actually had someone someone post on the forum that
Scotty's ego is eating a party sub by itself over in the corner. Yeah.
I had to put him in the corner because he was far too rambunctious tonight. Yeah, I had to settle him down.
All right, is that going to wrap up our news for the week?
Wait.
No?
Yes, one last thing. I just happened to see this on CBR. Steranko's doing The Spider, Master of Men. Spider, Robot Titans of Gotham, a new trade paperback from Bayon Books, features three action thrillers by legendary pulp writer Norvell W. Page. But where's Steranko in it? Oh, interior art by Steranko, $15. So
wow,
it's available in June. Yeah, that's 368 pages.
Man, wow,
holy crap!
Steranko, of course, known for his great shadow covers of all the Phantom paperback releases, and certainly the Spider is in that milieu.
Oh yeah, well, even his Nick Fury stuff is. You know,
well, yeah, but I'm pulpy. Saying like, but yeah, the Spider really is a pulp.
I just happened to see that. I'm like, what Steranko? But so there you go.
He's done. Yeah, I've seen him do Doc Savage and things. I mean, really, Steranko is. He comes to the Windy City Pulp Show in a lot of non-comic pulp shows.
Do they let him in? Because they didn't
they
let him in.
Yeah, they won't let him into the New York. Yeah, I know they won't let him in.
No, and he's there as a fan. I mean, I've been standing next to him in the bargain bins and stuff, and I'm like, are you showing anything? He's like, no, I'm just here to buy books. And it's like, great, man.
Wow.
Wow. Awesome.
All right, well, I think that's it. That's all I got. It's everything.
That'll take care of our news for the week. That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Who would like to go first?
I always go first.
The Tom Gators.
Oh, wow. I talk like that?
What the high pitch voice?
Yeah, you never know what you actually sound like. And I'm letting you know that I can do
it. I sound like
John
this.
Is the man of a million voices, but I do Gators the best.
I always go first in Tom Gators.
Wow. Jesus, that's uncanny.
It's harsh.
I love monkeys. Ah!
It's with two Gators.
You have.
It is, yeah, man. You
my
are
dear sir. My dear sir, you have struck close to the bone.
I would appreciate it
my
if
pick
you
of
didn't.
The week is Justice League of America number 9. I read a lot of things on the internet about people complaining about this book, and I completely understand why, because at times people can get lost and they don't know what's going on, and Meltzer doesn't do the best job of letting everyone know what the character's on. But also on the same hand, as I posted this week, I feel like this book is written specifically for me. So it's really hard for me not to really love it, because there's a point where they go to Gorilla City, which is the city with super intelligent apes, and they're riding fucking dinosaurs.
They're racing dinosaurs.
Yeah, racing dinosaurs. And to me, that is a piece of original art I would actually buy.
I opened up to that two-page spread, and I was like, Tom just crapped his pants.
It was great. I was on the bus, and I was like, holy shit. And they all have, like rec specs on, and they're, like, riding dinosaurs. And I was like, oh, that's great. And for me, sometimes it's hard as someone who is, like, reviewing stuff to separate what you enjoy necessarily from what you think you would like to recommend to people. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really know if I would recommend this to someone who has never picked up a DC book, because I don't think it would work, but... If I'm going to be honest about what I actually really enjoyed this week, this book was... It's like the silly popcorn movie book for me.
Stomp the yard,
because it's... I know all the characters, and I understand what's going on, and I understand people who don't know what's going on, but I can't separate myself from it, because when I read it, it's like Brad Meltzer's writing this book specifically at me, like he's writing it, typing it, and looking at me while he's typing. He's like,
what do you think of this, Tom?
Per Degaton, Ultra Humanite, and Despero, what do you think of that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, it's a fucking gorilla. And I'm just like, yeah.
Meltzer fans have complained to him why his comic books don't read more like his novels. And he's come out and said...
Because they're comic books?
Well, but more importantly, that he's like...
Who are those three people?
He goes, when DC opens up the toy box and says, I can play with these characters, I'm going to do it. And he goes, I'm going to pick my favorite characters. I don't care if people remember them or not. I am having a blast. I admit, I think it comes through, and I don't think you necessarily need to know everything about Gorilla City to appreciate gorillas on top of
I don't know. I don't have
for sport.
A hundredth of the DC knowledge that Tom does. And a lot of stuff in here I don't know. Like, I didn't know that was Per Megaton and Despero.
Per Degaton.
See, I don't even know his name. Yeah. But of course, I have to admit that last night when I was reading that book at 11 o'clock at night, I almost called you to find out what it was. But at the same point, I understand enough to read the story and enjoy it. I've been loving the book.
I enjoy it, and I think Meltzer is someone who, I think, both his greatest strength and his greatest weakness is I think he identifies so closely with certain characters. Like, he knows how to write Roy Harper, Red Arrow, so well that when he writes it, it's almost like he forgets that maybe someone doesn't know who that is. And I think that's a great strength, but it's also maybe a weakness at times because he gets that character so much that just like how when I read this book, it's hard for me to distance myself from knowing what's going on in it. For him, it's got to be hard to write a story and be like, not that I'm like
the banter between he and Kendra was awesome.
The relationship that makes sense because it's like what people. This actually really bothered me when I saw people on the internet like quoting the banter and like, that's stupid. And I'm like, well, that's this shit people do when they flirt with each other. They just make fun of each other about whatever stupid thing they're saying. Sure. And that makes sense.
Oh, I've been flirting with you all for weeks.
I know, exactly. Hello.
Dumb fucks.
Overall, I think Meltzer, he writes a really good story that's maybe aimed towards a certain audience that I definitely fall into. Bennis's art's good. It's a little scratchy. I wish it was inked a little bit tighter at times, especially with faces. Faces sometimes get a little scratchy, but I really enjoy it. It was the most fun I had this week, and I'll be honest, it was the most fun I had with the book this week. So.
Did you read No Warriors number 2?
No.
Super Apes?
Super Apes, was there?
Yeah.
Oh. The Flash is really close to breaking into my top of the stack, and if I'm such a huge Flash fan, it makes me... Guggenheim, I really want him to nail one so I can pick it and be like, this is really good.
You listening, Guggenheim?
Yeah, Guggenheim!
I did enjoy the last of Flash. I picked
Blade a couple weeks ago, so we got Guggenheim taken care of. I'll go ahead and go next. I'm going to go back into the vault.
That wasn't what you were going to pick originally.
It was one. I was actually going to pick Ultimates 2, number 13.
Can you pick a book that came out like 25 years ago?
Shut up.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Scotty.
Yeah, I got your back, pussy.
I'm picking the Bible.
The one that DC came out with in the 70s, the Treasury Edition Bible? Thank you.
This is something I've been wanting to talk about since I got off of vacation / honeymoon. I read this on the beaches.
Honeymoon / vacation is how it should be. Or just straight
Yes, I read this on the beaches of Turks and Caicos. This is the Wolverine Claremont Miller hardcover. It collects the Wolverine miniseries 1-4 and Uncanny X-Men number 172 and 173. This brought me back to a time when I loved the X-Men, and the Wolverine miniseries that was written by Chris Claremont and penciled by Frank Miller, I think was the height of Wolverine as a character. I don't think that character's been as good since then.
He's the best at what he does.
Yeah, schnickety schnick, bitches.
And it says that several times in this.
The best of what I do.
But this was really the height of Wolverine as a character and the that breath. Era of the X-Men when Paul Smith was doing art and I think Claremont was hitting on all cylinders at this time. The basic story of the Wolverine miniseries. If you haven't read it, Logan goes to Japan to find Mariko, his one true love, and he gets there, and she turns him away, and he finds out it's because that she's had to marry someone else that her father, who has been long gone, comes back and sets up this marriage and reestablishes his kind of crime lordship on the clan Yashada. It's a great dark crime story with Wolverine kind of chasing after his one true love. Really gets into his character, but some of the things that I pulled out of the book that I enjoyed were remembering editor's notes and a time at Marvel when even in a miniseries they would, in like issue 3, they would have an editor's note that would reference something that happened in issue 1 of the miniseries, and this was a finite miniseries. So I thought that was kind of fun to go back and remember those times. It was probably the most enjoyable thing that I read on vacation just from a nostalgia standpoint. So anyone that really wants to get into Wolverine as a character before he was totally overexposed, the Wolverine miniseries was my favorite kind of snapshot of that character.
Absolutely.
And that is my top of the stack.
All right.
Who'd like to go next? You guys were laughing at me for picking that.
I don't have anything to say about it. I haven't read it in
the Wolverine miniseries
a decade, so I don't even really remember it.
Fun stuff.
But I mean, I know what it was, but I just don't really remember.
I never remember Wolverine being more fun than in that, and not fun in a haha sort of way, but that was
fun and erotic.
Well, I mean, it was the first time that someone really sat down and gave that character more depth than what it was in the X-Men, which was just sort of...
It's the last time he, fought with a samurai sword and it wasn't hokey.
Yeah, but that character is a victim of its own success.
Yes.
Because it worked, and then all of a sudden everybody had to do it over and over and over and yep. over. And
it,
over.
It was never better than it was in that miniseries.
Well, I'll go next. My top of the stack is Green Lantern Corps number 12 by Dave Gibbons and Patrick Gleason and Tom Nguyen. With this book, the reason I picked it is more so of the all 12 issues of the new series that I've read. I feel Gibbons has, for the first time, given the Green Lantern Corps a real feeling of it being this intergalactic police force, in the sense that there's all these different Green Lanterns that he's introduced, and for whatever reason, it always seemed like whenever they somebody introduced a Green Lantern Corps member, it was like this hokey, weird alien that didn't really
it's a squirrel.
See, yeah, stuff like that. It's just like it didn't.
Don't talk shit about Chip. Awesome, yeah, Chip was awesome.
It was. It always seemed kind of hokey. It always seemed like it really didn't make any sense, or. It was just like, here's a weird-looking alien, we'll throw a ring on it. And with this, he's brought in a lot of characters that are very strange, very alien, also. But they all have personalities. They all have reasons of why they're Green Lanterns. And you learn that over the series, is that, they all have a common... While they're from completely different universe or galaxies and planets and everything, they all have the common theme of why they're Green Lanterns. And yet, they each sort of have their own... ways of going about how they do things. They each have their own ways of how they became Green Lanterns and why they maintain that and why they were chosen. But at the same time, the core itself, he's really given this foundation of this is how it works. This is how, these are the departments. These are who's in charge. This is the rules and regulations, and this is how it's all put together. It feels like a very, the infrastructure that he's created.
They're cops.
And it feels real.
With
and
the
same,
hierarchy, though.
With the hierarchy.
Yeah, there's the death sergeant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And that's what it's
who's
like. It's like, it's this inner, and it's this really good intergalactic cop drama.
Mm-hmm.
And behind all that is really good stories of stuff in space that I'm not a real big fan of space stories. I've never have been, but he's just given this so much feel in a very short amount of time that for the first time it seems like they're a real entity, that they have an effect, in the DC universe, that they're more than just sort of these offhanded characters that don't matter, that nothing what they do really has any effect on anyone.
You always kind of knew that they were out there, but you didn't care.
Yeah, you had. Yeah, exactly. And each one of these characters, you start to care about, you learn about, and I just felt that they've done a really good job with that.
Speaking
I don't have a whole
space,
a deep
have
thing.
Have you looked at Scotty lately?
I just want to point out Gibbons always gets the proper credit for his art, and I mean obviously his work speaks for itself. But I do think that the writer that David Gibbons is gets overlooked a lot of times, mostly because it's been on miniseries or arcs in between. I know he had that Cap Lives arc a few years ago in Captain America before Brubaker came on. And but I think in the case of Green Lantern Corps, it's nice to see him on a monthly and be able to come up with this kind of formula that does work in this, you know, in this format. I think he's I think he's a very fine writer, and I agree with you. I'm a big fan of it. I love the little stories he's doing in the back of the regular Green Lantern book as well. He's writing the Tales of the Green Lantern Corps. Or Sinestro Corps.
Sinestro Corps, yeah.
And, yeah, I think...
And the same feel from those. Is, you know, it's like each...
Yes.
That's one of the things I love about the book is that each Green Lantern has sort of its own unique feel and stories, and he takes you in different directions because of these characters. Not they're not just like plot pieces that he's plugging in because he needs this sort of Green Lantern. It's like, okay, here's an interesting Green Lantern that's built like a bug or whatever, or built like a planet in the case of Mogo.
Mogo. Well, that's old continuity, but yeah. How about the virus Sinestro Corps member?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the germ.
But it was... It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't just like a plot piece. It was like, here's a story about this character and why it is the way it is and what that means. What, you know what I mean?
Gibbons has a very significant sci-fi background because if you go back to his 2000 AD work, Rogue Trooper, I think, has went through so many different science fiction avenues of storylines and things like that. And also the 2000 AD method of writing succinct eight-page stories that have to stand for eight pages and stuff. And I just think he's well-suited for this kind of format to do a bunch of little subplots that are all interconnected and also the world of science fiction. No, I think he's a great fit.
Yeah, I think it's worked out really well. And for the, like I said, for the, I've always been a Green Lantern fan, but I've like never cared about the Green Lantern Corps
until now.
So there you go.
Mr. Santres.
I'm going to go with a book from a couple weeks ago just because I've really been behind in my reading. But I read this week, and it's Matt Fraction's Spider-Man annual. Was that for Spectacular or for...
Spectacular.
Yeah.
It was Spectacular, yeah. And Salvador LaRocca did the art.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that was a great story. It was kind of tying into what's going on now with Spider-Man in the post-Civil War era and the fact that Aunt May is still in a coma. But... and Spider-Man's in the black uniform, but I think the great thing about the story was it really kind of showcased the marriage of Mary Jane and Peter and their relationship, and it goes back into a lot of beats in their relationship. And Fraction just delivered this great one-shot that's 48 pages and had a lot of character, had a lot of story, introduced a few interesting characters as well as potential complications for the story. A guy who is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who was an old flame of Mary Jane's catches her in this old coffee house that they used to hang out at, Peter and Mary Jane used to hang out at, and you know, they're just waiting for backup to come in and take Mary Jane in, and during that time she is re-examining her relationship from Peter because she's sitting in this very nostalgic place where they kind
of
had
their
first dates.
Trying to, you know, he's sort of trying to convince her to turn on Peter.
Absolutely. And it's, it's the question of why does she stay with this fugitive? And, I mean, that's the question that I think the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent is asking.
I think that what it does really successfully is that you don't need to actually know. You just need to know the basics of Spider-Man to read that story and enjoy it. You don't need to know a tremendous amount of detail. And,
but it still gives you, like, great nods for a hardcore fan that will really appreciate the book.
It does, and it's also great because you don't see Spider-Man wear a mask either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, no, there's some
really... Which is pointless, because I think he took his mask off and everyone knows who he is. I think, well, that was, like, a big deal and it was in the media. I don't think it actually has had a huge effect
on the actual books.
Not yet. I think we keep waiting for it, too.
Well, I know Matt had said, you know, when we talked to him a few weeks back. He had said that he was working on, or when he was working on that, he was like, those little nods that he did and all the flashbacks to when they were younger and everything, he had like researched really well. And he was like putting those, what the story he was telling were like built off of maybe like one panel scenes out of old Spider books, you know, and just sort of building on those scenes and everything, which I thought were great. And well, you saw a lot of them from two perspectives, from Mary Jane's perspective and then from Peter's perspective.
The same scene from both sides. No, and I think it's the book itself is emblematic of what we've seen from Matt since he's been given the Marvel books to work on. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's really proven that he's a great fit for the Marvel Universe. I love Iron Fist every month. Punisher War Journal has been incredible as well. And I think this was just a really pleasant surprise. I had heard this was really good. I bought it, I think, on your guys' recommendation actually a week or so ago, and was so pleased when I read it. It really knocked me out, and it's a wonderful Spider-Man story that has nothing, you know, that it's a nice interlude in between all the big heavy shit that's going on. And it's an accessible story, as Tom said, and I can't recommend it more.
It's a very good love story.
Great.
With some cool action in it.
Yeah.
It's a love story about Peter and MJ. And her thong. Doing his laundry.
Yeah, there was that scene.
The thong, 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 thong.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the thong song.
I prefer these two.
How could you forget about the thong
so
song?
Yeah.
Mr. Young.
He's going to pick a European book or something fancy.
Some artsy fartsy.
Not going to even be in English.
He's going to lay the smack down on us nerds.
I think no one has ever reached the...
My pick
shut the fuck up!
My pick is Fuck You, issue number one.
Last week he picked an art book that he couldn't even remember the name of.
Did you really?
Wow. It's still fucking awesome.
It's Fuck You, Fuck You, issue number one.
You go ahead and pick your book.
Hate you fuckers. All right. My top of the stack this year is... this is not a new book by any means, but it's book one and two of Black Sad. It's published by iBooks. The English version is published by iBooks. Written by
Juan Diaz Canales
and art by
Juanjo Guarnido. Guarnido?
Speak Spanish.
Guarnido.
Thank you, Sal.
He always has people of Hispanic descent near him to be able to
pronounce those.
Because I'd rather it be done right than me murder.
I don't know if that's right or not.
The two books, they're two separate stories about the same character, Black Sad, who is a cat. Detective, by cat I mean everybody in the book is an animal. It's all animals.
So it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
times more
it's
dope.
It's a precursor to the book that all of us love by Richard Starkings, Elephant Man.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of kinship between these.
This is a noir style story, noir style book where it's he's a detective and each book is a different case that he's working in. Or PI, and if you're into noir type stories, I mean, it's very, very. It's not just a tip of the hat. They really did their research on the style of storytelling, visually and writing. But like I said, everybody is animals. They don't refer to themselves as animals. It's people. They don't. It's not like some of the time where they know they're animals and they talk about being animals.
Right.
It's just like. It's a book about humans, except visually they're animals.
This game could have been in my litter box for hours.
Yeah. It's not...
She was a squeaky toy I never
had.
Why
do you think they did that?
It definitely was... there is a third book that is the making of. Because they treated these first two books like they were making a movie... they actually made, the one...
The
director's cut book of the making of... and you get to see wonderful all his breakdowns of it, and they have huge dialogue between each other and their approach to the book. A big part of it was, like myself, really grew up on the old Disney movies and everything where it was animals,
right?
Everything
Robin
was
Robin Hood and the Aristocats.
Yeah, these
that.
And it was basically a tip of the hat to that, but they also wanted to. Making it, it's an adult story.
Mm-hmm.
There's sex, there's it
kiddie boob.
Yeah, it is for it is for adults. But I was telling Tom earlier that at first you might think, oh, this is jarring. It's all animals, but it takes you about two pages before you completely forget because the story's so good. The artwork is it's all watercolor. It's hand painted.
Mm.
It is. Beautiful, beautiful artwork. The storytelling is incredible. So it doesn't take you long to get sucked into the world and forget that you're reading a book about animals. The artist is fantastic actor with the characters.
Does anything like that book of animals I got for Tom at one time?
It's not pornographic.
the camera angles, everything about the books is like you're watching a movie. I can't seem to say enough. But there's one book about a murder, and they deal with racism, black animals, white animals. I mean, it's.
Wow.
But again, it's not about animals. It's they're humans,
right?
You know, but they just happen to be animals. So it really deals with some has some cool little tales to them. So I would say people should really go out. It might be hard to find. I think you can order them basically online. Anywhere. But yeah,
they're we had talked about this earlier. They're European books and they're oversized. I mean, that's
the
format.
Yeah, uh-huh, they're oversized. They're not hardcover, like, because I think these were Spanish books.
Okay.
First, and not your typical French. I mean, they weren't in the French market. They were in the Spanish market, I believe. So they're not hardcover, but they're the oversized books, like the new Elephant.
Right.
About the size of the Elephant Man, like I think Starkings was saying how those were
those
originally.
Are the natural, yeah.
Yeah, those that's how they were made. They are soft covers. I think they're, you know, between like 48 and 50 pages, I think, okay, per book. So they're not giant stories. They're just nice.
And there's two books, and then
there's
book
one and two, and then there's the making of.
The making of.
And like I said, book one and two, you know, it's the same world, it's the same character, Black Sad, but they're completely individual stories. You don't have to feel like, oh, both these books. You know, you want to grab one, grab one. I'd say grab all everything. The making of is one of the most comprehensive behind the scene. You know, when we buy trades here in America, we, you know, like, oh, wow, they showed me three sketches, you know, where this, the making of book is about the size of both the previous books put together.
Wow.
Filled with, like I said, them explaining what they were going in, the way they approached the page from the writing, the art. It shows the artist's, I mean, sometimes it seemed like he would do a page, just his prelim paintings, maybe four or five times. And his prelim paintings are better than, you know, I could ever do on a finish. And he's really testing the lighting and making sure that his camera angle is smart for that right moment, and, you know, really taking his cues from film books and, mm-hmm, and actual acting, which I think is a important part of visual storytelling that sometimes gets overlooked a little bit in comics. You know, you really feel every emotion from these characters. And the crazy thing is, they're animals. You know, you think it really
feels... You'd have a disconnect or something
it's
there.
It's wild. But, yeah, you think there'd be a disconnect, but there's just...
Well, I was looking at... I was looking up some of the information, saw some of the art on it online, and it was interesting because they're, you know, anamorphic, mm-hmm, animal-human characters. But one of the things that I thought was unique in it is that, like, their faces, while... You know, like, there's this cat character. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a cat, but its face is almost shaped more like a human, where it, like, has a, you know, it had, like, a bumped nose, mm-hmm, and a, you know, and, like, a jawline and cheekbones and,
right,
everything of more of a human, but it still looked like a cat,
right,
where a lot of times you don't see it. It's like, okay, it's got four, you know, it's got two legs, two arms,
right,
fingers, thumbs, and then, you know, an alligator
head. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times that's what you see in those,
right,
kind of books, where this one, it really looked more like... If, you know, something was half human, half,
right,
you know, animal or something, which
I will say that unlike other books that have went the route of using all animals, that seem to be slightly on the more cartoony end.
Mm-hmm.
While this one has, you know, to push the expressions, it takes it to a slightly exaggerated place. For the most part, you know, when you see the German Shepherd cop, I mean, it looks like a German Shepherd head with a slight tweak outside of reality. It's,
right,
not your, it's not Disney cartoony. You know, it's not, you know, your simple outline.
And they're fully painted, so it's not,
yeah,
I mean,
so
the,
there's
the
a
lighting
really,
and,
oh, yeah,
the texture to them is...
Oh, yeah. So it's for people who are worried when they hear it's all animals, oh, it's probably too cartoon. You know, it's just a,
right,
cartoon. It's not a cartoon. It's
is
not
it
a kid's
anything
book.
Like Bambi?
I would Bambi 2, not Bambi 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I like Bambi 2 better.
Bambi, yeah,
is there anything like Aristocats?
Well, I think you got us sold on that.
Yeah, so I think everybody should read it, or you're dumbheads.
Or you're stupid. If you're not reading, you're an idiot.
And you can't hang out with Scotty Young
anymore.
Yeah,
you can't come to my house and watch Stomp the Yard. Dummy dumbhead fuckwads.
All right, well, that'll take care on that.
You know, the show's tanking when I'm just throwing out, like,
dummy dummy.
Stupid head.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, asshole?
All right.
I don't even drink.
Yeah, I know.
It's all hopped up on Diet Mountain Dew. All right, that will take care of our top of the stack. All right, guys. Well, that should pretty much finish us up. It's good to have...
Finish us off.
Finish us off. As
finish me off.
I say finish me down.
Finish me
because
up.
Because I'm different and edgy.
Finish me sideways.
That's what the kids say.
You're one of those.
That's what the teenagers say.
All right, folks, I would like to remind you that there's a few different ways that you can interact with the show. You can send us an email at info@aroundcomics.com, or you can always email us individually at Sal, Tom, or Chris at aroundcomics.com.
Scotty at aroundcomics.com.
Have we started a Scotty at around?
No. I'm having it forwarded to your...
We also have the listener hotline, which there are directions on how to call into the hotline at the website, and we've got voicemails from David D. We've got voicemail from Pat Loika.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get to those.
I got like 17 from Zero Enigma
in Canada.
Yeah.
Canadian guy.
None of them have anything to do with comics, but
they will never be played.
Epileptic fits from Zero Enigma.
I'm going to have to release those on a separate podcast.
So guys, we have those. We're just running a little long today, so we're going to get to those next week. Thank you for sending those in.
Statues.
Don't stop sending in the voicemails. We enjoy them. So we will get to those. I want to remind you that you can help us out by spreading the Around Comics love. You can take us up on our Listener LCS Challenge. We have a flyer at our homepage. You can download that, print it out, ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they will put that up. And if they do so, we'll mention both you and the store on the show and provide a link to the shop at our site. You can become our virtual friend at comicspace.com/aroundcomics, myspace.com/aroundcomics, or you can take me up on my personal favorite. You can be as cool as Andy Parks and Mike Mayhew and Mike Norton and Steve Bryant and all sorts of other cool people by leaving us a review at the iTunes Music Store. Special thanks this week to Brian J. Crowley, and that's the wrong note.
You folks are awesome.
Special thanks this week to Brian Hancock and Doug Rex. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
King Doug.
You can also join our Frapper map. No new Frappers this week.
No, I don't think there were.
Whatever.
We've got to stop creating these odd ass names for internet stuff.
Join my social networking site.
Scrappadoos.
Yeah, join
Blibberblork.
Join Comic Pagers, where you can sign up and we can all become friends with each other.
Make sure to check out all the great things that Around Comics has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions.
We are also proud members of the Comic Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Tom's coming down off of a sugar high.
Yeah.
You tell.
I got tired.
Just so everyone is aware, we
Silver
post
Age
next
high.
Week's topic on Tuesdays or thereabout at the forum at aroundcomics.com.
Like
what
it.
Are we doing next week?
I don't know. What are we doing?
It's not Tuesday.
You got the schedule, man.
Who are we talking
you
to?
I don't know. Check the forum.
You better figure it out.
All right.
I'd like to thank Borders again. When art attacks strike a small town, only four high school girls could be responsible. Get your copy of The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the store locator at aroundcomics.com.
And the boys are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for the essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call them at 310-909. Let me do that again. 310-909-7809.
Nine.
Oh, I was about to say, now there's a professional.
Too late.
Dope.
Fucked up.
Fuck up.
And, of course, remember our Be a Hero contest. Go out there. Be a hero. Give.
You'll not a zero. Better.
Indeed.
Did you say add a zero?
Put someone in danger.
Yeah, add a zero to it.
Put someone in danger and then save them.
Yeah.
Everyone have a fantastic couple days. We're going to be back.
You're
on,
not going to thank us for joining you today?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chris. Great.
Yeah,
what
the fuck? Really, yeah, I was getting there. Good Lord. Want to remind everyone to come back on Thursday. We have our Comics 101, the JSA, which Tom is going to be center stage to walk us through the history.
It's not funny. It's the opposite of funny.
It is the most serious we have ever heard,
it's the
Tom.
Most you'll ever hear me talk about making a masturbation joke. I didn't make one masturbation joke.
Not even
Jesus.
One.
But I masturbated while you were talking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
The whole time.
There's going to be a ton of fans.
I've never seen anyone masturbate that long.
Well, I mean, it was pretty freaky.
So, yes, John, Scotty, thanks for sitting in with us today.
Thanks for having us, boys.
Yes, it's always a pleasure.
We really can't stop you.
It's true. We just kind of show up every week, don't we?
Tom, Sal, it's good to get the band back together.
I knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
Well, we use the same metaphors, Katsa.
Everyone have a good couple days. We'll be back on Thursday with Comics 101 JSA. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Where's Scotty go?
He walked away.
Blibbity blue, blibbity bad.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.